It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Well, Sean, you didn't know the name Dewey. You came in and told me you thought it might be DuckTales, but they've already done their revival.
Yes, when I think of Dewey, I think of DuckTales.
So not
the... And they've already done... And also in the context of it wasn't something you watched as a kid, but got caught up on reruns. I was like, I don't think he's watching...
Got it. I actually did watch DuckTales as a kid.
But not the reruns.
But no, I didn't watch the reruns.
It was something you missed out on
and
at the time.
Went back to it. No. Yeah. And what I mean by reruns, it was still going on Fox. I just wasn't watching it like on Fox Sunday nights.
Oh, it was like on syndicated.
Yeah, I was watching TBS syndicated stuff. Yeah. Malcolm in the Middle is back, Sean.
Okay.
Malcolm in the Middle is back. Muniz and others. Bryan Cranston, I think, is going to be in it.
If you don't have Cranston
what
back,
are we doing?
Keep it.
Yeah, I don't want it.
If you don't have Muniz or Cranston, whatever.
Keep racing cars, Frankie, if Bryan Cranston's not coming back. So he's back. Forgot the mom's name. She's back. But Dewey is not coming back. Dewey doesn't act anymore. So
okay.
So he doesn't show up for like the cast reunions when they meet up for like lunch or whatever, or conventions. So he's not there for that. But the rest of the other brothers are. Christopher Masterson. There's another Masterson that's been in trouble. It's the brother, not that one.
When I pulled up the cast, that was my first thought was, oh, is he coming back?
No. That's the 70 show guy.
Yeah.
His brother was an actor, doesn't have the issues.
Wow, they had a brother on Malcolm in the Middle and that 70 show.
And a sister in Walking Dead.
Big three.
Acting family. Well, we did talk about that. Well, now it's up two. It's a two. And you would have thought the brother who is no longer part of the big three would have had the bigger career, considering what show he was on and how well-liked he was on that show as far as the character. Yeah, not so much. Things went awry there.
Wow, it has such a long Wikipedia page.
What, Malcolm in the Middle?
Malcolm in the Middle has such a long one.
I don't know who was looking for this. I wasn't looking for the Malcolm in the Middle. I don't think any stories needed to be retold, but they're going to do it because nostalgia always wins, it feels like. At least it gives old shows and movies a shot. Now, whether they execute it, it's another story, but yeah.
Yeah, I think in general, I'm good on revivals where especially the main character or characters were children or like young adults, like high schoolers.
I don't need to see them as adults. I don't really care.
I don't care. Now, it's like the show has now changed. Like
it's not the show anymore. Yeah,
it's not the same show because now DJ Tanner, now she has kids. Like, yeah. I don't care.
It's true.
I just don't care now.
And they couldn't even get back the stars of the show, the Olsen twins.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not sure I want to see the Olsen twins anymore.
No. By the way, they have like the rankings for for the ratings, but then they have like the rankings. I don't know what it's ranking, like total shows that year or something. It topped out in season one at number 18, and then in season two, 22, and then just like fell off. Like,
yeah, why?
why
is this coming back? Other than you can, and Frankie Muniz is someone who has backed away from acting. Maybe that's the appeal. People want to see him.
Yeah,
since he hasn't been in the public eye
for some new Muniz.
Yeah, you with the ear to the streets have heard.
Yeah,
that everyone's like, looking for Muniz. Hey, get out of that race! Get out of that race car.
Cool, but come on,
the race car stuff will be cooler. I'm going to tell you right now, the race car stuff will be cooler than this revival.
Yeah, and until they.
Oh, is he a race car driver in the show?
There we go. Now,
do they take
us
to the track?
Days of Thunder in the middle.
Who's a Nicole Kidman to that? If he's going to play the Tom Cruise, we need a Nicole Kidman.
I think you cast like a new character. It's not someone.
Yeah,
from
not some ex-girl from the show.
Yeah, no, not some like 9-year-old he knew growing up.
Well, I'm sure there is a girl from who showed up on his
in season four.
Yeah,
in an arc.
Yeah, who was probably like 14, 15.
Who had a 3-episode arc.
That's still acting that they could pull in if they want to connect the dots to, wow, we really like that guest star. Let's see what she's up to now. Malcolm and her had some chemistry.
25 years ago when the show was
in
on.
This absurd comedy that we were doing.
Yeah, no, until Frankie Muniz reboots Agent Cody Banks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm out.
Who was...
Or Big Fat Liar.
Who was...
Get back Giamatti.
I remember that, too. Who didn't he get to Agent Cody Banks 2? Wasn't there a sequel? Or was it Big Fat Liar 2?
No, there was a sequel to...
Agent Cody Banks?
Agent Cody Banks 2, Destination London.
I love a subtitle.
Especially one that's like 20 letters long.
Yeah. Destination London. The movie title is already 3 words. The original title's 3 words. Let's add a couple more and a number to it. Had Anna Faris in it.
Let's reboot this.
No, that's not Anna Faris. It's just a woman who looks like her.
Anthony Anderson's also in it.
Yeah, I misspoke. That's another blonde woman. That wasn't Anna Faris. She wasn't in that.
Never mind. Keep it.
Yeah.
Give me Big Fat Liar instead. Bigger, Fatter Liar.
They can't do that. They can't name anything that anymore. They could have got away with that if they made the sequel immediately after the first one, but you can't call a movie Bigger, Fatter, Liar. Can't.
Too big, too fat, too liars.
These are things you can't do. What was the Jack Black movie where he wasn't a good person?
Oh, Shallow Hal?
Yeah.
Shallower Hal?
Another one. You can't make again.
Yeah, you could reboot that.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Make it social media. Make it about social media.
Think about Gwyneth Paltrow. She was the woman of his affection in that dumbass movie.
Yeah. Great movie.
I've seen it once, and I wouldn't classify it as great, but that's one man's opinion.
Cult classic. That's what I can say.
The Mapes Cult.
When I know no one else will back me up on this. And whatever Rotten Tomatoes says will not back me up.
The Cult of Mapes thinks it's a cult classic.
Let's see.
You're going to look it up? I bet you it's lower than you think.
2001 film. No, about what I thought. 49% on
that's
Rotten
better
Tomatoes.
Than I thought. That's better than... Wait, hold on. That score is better than Captain America Brave New World.
Because it's a better movie.
No chance. It's no chance.
It's a better movie.
No way.
Only 45% on the popcorn meter.
Even for Red Hulk. Even Red Hulk makes Captain America Brave New World better than Shallow Hal. Maybe I'm just not a Jack Black fan. That could be it.
Yeah. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow, real life, what she looks like in real life is kind of like the Red Hulk. There's a transformation, so to speak.
I'm not going to get into that with you. I'm not doing that. All right, that wraps up that segment. Just wanted to let everyone know, if you were looking for more Frankie Muniz, it's coming.
I mean, I think just in general, if you're looking for more things that were on your television or in movie theaters in 2002, it's coming. In general.
There's a Buffy revival coming. Of course, the sad news surrounding that was that the little sister, Michelle Trachtenberg, died very recently. But there's a Buffy not spinoff. Buffy's going to be in it. That's a 90s show, so we're doing this again.
Yeah, come on.
I don't mind it. I'll give Buffy a shot. I watched that show growing up,
yeah,
too.
I'll give the Shallow Hal reboot a shot.
You're not going to get it.
8-episode miniseries.
A prestige TV show on Shallow
Hal? Yeah.
It's more
Sundays on Max.
And it's more just a 8 episodes about therapy. Just sit him down.
It's all one shot, actually.
Yeah, like adolescence. It's just Jack Black talking to Gabriel Byrne about what he saw and why he saw it and how he grew
this
up.
Way, actually.
Yeah. Dad will be blamed, certainly. Maybe mom, too, for not being a strong enough mother figure. You never know in a therapy show. Okay, we're done with that. I'm going to tell you now, I won't see a second of the Malcolm in the Middle revival. Not a chance. Because there's no Dewey. What am I doing here? If there's no Dewey, I love Dewey.
Is that on Netflix or something?
I don't know where it's going to be.
This feels like a Netflix reboot.
And I shouldn't say there will be no Dewey. Dewey has been recast. The original actor playing Dewey
won't
be back.
I'm fine with that. Again, this goes into, it's been 25 years. Like, there's no way I would know what this guy looks like as an adult man now.
Yeah, so it could be anybody. I won't be thrown off by it because it's 20-something years in the future. All right, we'll get out of that. We'll talk about where Stefon Diggs is. It worked out for him. he wanted his deal scrapped when he got traded to the Texans, and the question was, where's he ever going to get that money again? Well, there's one team that's willing to pay him because they're desperate, and they pay, we suck, and we play in Foxborough, or at least a Boston area tax. So they get Stephon Diggs. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Stephon Diggs was a major acquisition last year for the Texans. For his time on the field, it worked. He was not a dynamic player anymore. I don't think that's what you're going to see in New England, but he scored touchdowns. He was a safety player. A security blanket, I guess I'd say, for CJ. Now he's going to try to be that for Drake May. I don't know if the Patriots, you assume they know what they're getting into as far as what he is on the field now. He's not a guy who's going to make plays down the field. So when the AAV is $23 million a year, you think to yourself, they needed someone, anyone, and they didn't want to wait on the draft. And also, they didn't want to be in a position where they were forced to use it on a wide receiver if they didn't want to. So, they signed Stephon Diggs, what, 3 years, about 23 per year?
Only 26 is guaranteed.
Yeah.
So
he's definitely not going to finish that deal there.
Yeah, it's a one-year deal.
Yes, and if they want to get out of it,
they can.
They can.
Or if they want to restructure it,
they can figure it out.
So he doesn't. He's not the like 12th highest paid receiver in the league.
And now that you're into this part of his career where he's a third, he's on his third team in 3 years, you kind of know how this is going to go, right? I don't think he's going to be a bad citizen in New England, but halfway through the year, people are going to be talking about he is not worth what he's being paid. It's just how it works. Yes, I'm banking on history. If he is the exception to the rule that I'm following, that's cool. But three teams in 3 years, 30-plus-year-old wide receiver, got a big deal from a team who was bad and has no options for their young quarterback. I'm sure he'll get targets. I'm sure he'll catch a couple touchdowns. But I don't think there'll be much of an impact at all from Stephon Diggs in New England.
Yeah, it's like he helps. He's right now the best receiver on their team. But they still need better receivers. That's kind of where you're at. When in 2025, when Stephon Diggs is your best receiver, it kind of means, you know, we could really use a number one.
Particularly if you don't have a freak at quarterback like Josh Allen. Whatever Drake May is going to be, he is not
he's not
the player that Stephon Diggs played with in Buffalo. He needs dynamic players on that team to help, and Stephon Diggs is no longer a dynamic playmaker.
Yeah, he helps more than like whatever rolling into a season with Pop Douglas, number
Kendrick
one.
Kendrick Bourne or whatever.
Yeah, so it's like, it helps, but it's not going to be some major, you know, game changer. He was solid on the Texans for, what, 7 games, 8 games, however long he played for the team. But at the end of the day, he wasn't like, it wasn't adding prime stuff, you know, 2021 Stephon Diggs to this team.
He waited, and he won. The deal is one, at least for a year, that surpasses anything I thought he was going to get. It just makes it funny to think about the conversations, or at least the tweets about, hey, Stephon Diggs is still out there.
Yeah, because the Texans
will revisit that. Maybe they can get him. No one signed him, and it turns out there was always a team waiting.
It was like the Alex Bregman deal.
Yeah, I don't think he didn't know the Patriots were an option. I just think he wasn't all that looking forward to joining them until there was no other option.
And for the Patriots, like, they obviously tried on so many different wide receivers.
Guys refused.
Yeah.
They were, and this is going back years now. They were in on Ayuk. He was like, no, I'm good. They wanted Chris Godwin. No. This offseason. No, I don't want to play there. He took less to stay.
Higgins,
guys. I'm sure they had conversations with Higgins in that time period where
Adams,
where the Bengals allowed him to seek a potential deal someplace else. And you mentioned Davante Adams.
Cup.
No, those guys want to play there.
Yeah.
And this is what you're left with. You're paying a guy coming off an ACL who doesn't fit the profile of a receiver who gets paid the type of money he's going to get paid in year one. But you got to do it. You got to show that you're at least trying to help the progression of your young quarterback. Keep cash in check, Stephon Diggs. And it makes me think of this. It's on your page, the Stephon Diggs sound about when his teammates asked him. When he had teammates being asked about whether he would be a suitable option for their sisters.
I'm actually a great guy.
And he was so surprised that no, not Diggs. He's the last guy I would want.
But nobody want me to date his sister.
No. Now who? I don't know who the sisters that are the sisters of Patriots players.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephon Diggs has a nickname for a reason.
Yeah.
Community D. That's his nickname.
Yeah. Watch out, Christian Gonzalez.
Hey, Drake May. I don't know anything about your sister.
I don't even know if you have a sister. I think he's the youngest of three brothers.
Okay, so he doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, because Luke May is one of his brothers, and they all went to UNC.
So he doesn't have to worry about it.
No.
But the rest of those guys.
I don't know. How big's the community is what I'm asking.
I've not seen it stretch to the other side of the road. The community is a one-lane highway from what I've seen. I don't know.
Would nobody want me to do this?
Brother.
See, you can't do that. You can't do that. Sean Mapes, everybody. Started off this show.
I'm congratulating
him on being right about something, and now this is what he didn't. You pull something like this yesterday.
Just wait. I'll be right about this.
Something yesterday.
When will you stop doubting?
There was something yesterday where I was like, "Oh, Sean's better than that."
I know what it is, but I'm not going to self-report.
Yeah, don't snitch on yourself. I can go listen back. I don't remember what it was. I cannot agree with what Sean Mapes is implying or suggesting because I have no knowledge of anything that Community D is up to other than dating rappers' girlfriends.
I'm just saying, let's not limit him. I'm asking how big's the community, you know. But at the start of spring training, none of us would have said Cam Smith would make the opening day roster either. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. One improbable thing means another improbable thing is possible.
That's all I'm saying. Upsets happen. Not in the tournament, but upsets happen.
Not this tournament, at least. I will say, this is if that is true, what you're suggesting, this isn't even a 1 versus 16 from all previous knowledge. This is like the last team in the NIT beats the Cougs.
This is 1 versus D2.
Yeah. This is St. Francis going down to Division 3 and then beating the Cougs the next day after that announcement. By the way, that's real. St. Francis, after losing a close game in the first forward of Alabama State, has decided we don't play D1 basketball anymore. We're not even stopping at D2. We're going to D3.
I do wonder why they didn't stop. They just rolled past D2.
Maybe they did the finances. They figured out the finances and said it's too costly to even play D2 sports. So we're going to
D3. Or they're like, what if we just win every single year in D3? How sick would that be?
St. Francis is changing the ages of all their kids like their little league and saying, hey, we're going to pull this move where all our kids are 3 years older than everyone, but instead all our players are talented enough to win a D1 conference, and we're going to beat up on the D3 teams. Hey, we just want to win. We want to win a national title, no matter what the level is. I would commend them, but I don't think that's what's happening. I think
it's the same trophy.
It is.
It's NCAA, literally the same
trophy. NCAA, I don't know if I want to give them credit for making it the same trophy or saying, hey, let's add a little pomp and circumstance to the D1 title.
I think they should just make it bigger. Just make the – it's the same
like those hats that guys wear?
It's like the same form.
That Brian Robinson was brought to the table. It's the first time I ever saw those giant hats was on Brian Robinson. Yeah.
Wasn't called like Big Hat Inc. or something?
It might have been.
Yeah, just make like the D2 one is, you know, I don't know, a foot. D3 is like 8 inches, and D1's like huge. So you can tell.
That this one means more?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're just going to keep doing what they're doing.
A rinky-dink little.
It's not a great trophy.
No, it's a plank of wood, right?
Yeah.
It's like two planks of wood.
Like what looks like a medal on it, NCAA written on it. And then you have like where you can engrave the champion on glass. I think that's what it is. College football, whatever you think of their current trophy, they did have the crystal, which was cool. You can lift it off the trophy and lift up the crystal.
That's what they should do for every sport. Just a crystallized version of a basketball.
But a baseball's too small. Would you rather have a bat or a ball for a baseball?
A bat.
Title. I think so. Or a glove.
No, a bat.
A bat.
a crystal bat that you lift off the trophy.
Yeah.
A lot of accidents would happen.
Yeah, something's going to happen, and it's not going to end well. I think that was perfect. The Sears trophy was perfect for football. Now, I don't know what that is. It's not great.
Yeah.
The championship trophy
is like a fake
pin. Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
It's not a bad call. Step up. The NCAA can't even be blamed for that one. That's not their trophy.
No, that's on the committee.
Yeah, they don't control the playoff.
You know what? I'm mad at the committee right now. The college football committee, Boo Corrigan thinks he's going to get off the hook because it's March and no one's mad at him. I'm mad at him.
It makes sense. You're an SEC fan. You guys are plenty mad.
I don't even know if it's still Boo Corrigan.
Why not be like name. South Carolina and Alabama and Ole Miss? Just be mad at the committee.
I am.
Meanwhile, Alabama goes and plays Michigan and looks awful. It was a rainy game, but they looked terrible.
They were trying.
The only team was Duke.
They didn't want to be
the only team was Duke who suffered at the hands of Ole Miss. The only team who suffered from anger
the wrath
the SEC had after one of their teams not making the playoff was Duke. Everyone else, Michigan was like, Alabama was angry? Couldn't tell. I know Jalen Milroe played, but they would have been better off without him that day.
Probably helped us draft stock, too.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going to get drafted. That's a guy.
I think higher than we think. I think
someone's
going to
fall in love with the athleticism.
Yeah.
I just can't pin down where he would be taken. Because you see him play and it's like, are we sure that's a quarterback?
Yeah. Pop in the Oklahoma tape from this year. You're not going to be like, yep, love it. Give him a year to sit behind and learn behind Russell Wilson, and then
yeah, those aren't the vibes.
Yeah,
with him, if you're drafting him to play quarterback, it feels like a long term and really just an experiment to see if you can find a way to turn all that ability into a reasonable facsimile of a NFL quarterback. I don't know about him. I don't want to do the whole hey, let's switch positions. I just don't.
Yeah,
know how he's
I'm playing. Not doing that.
Yeah, watch out.
I'm not catching a Bill Polian.
No one's looking for that. You've already accused the guy on my television of catching things or delivering things, depending on what you think of him.
A chance.
There's
I don't
only
think he is. I don't know him.
There's no evidence to suggest what you're saying.
There isn't. But other than community.
What you're doing is pulling a less aggressive version of Granato. You don't know. That's pretty much what you're doing.
Yeah. And if I have 20-something more years of experience, I'd be more aggressive with it. If I knew I was untouchable, I'd be more aggressive.
You don't need 27 more years of experience, just 27 more clients behind you where nothing matters when you say it because, oh, yeah? What about Gulf Coast Windows? You want them gone? Let me say what I want. All right. We'll wrap up this segment and avoid Sean getting us in, well, at least him in more trouble. I've disassociated from this conversation, separated myself. It's not me.
You're the one saying Jalen Milroe can't play quarterback.
I said I don't know.
I think that he's a surgeon back there.
Trust me. You're not going to be able to protect yourself by propping up Jalen Milroe. Not going to happen for you. All right, a couple more segments to go. But before we do that, it's late enough in this segment to talk about something. And that's really me talking about the logistics of the show. We're way beyond a break, which leads me to talk about this. The place you need to go to if you want spring savings. That's Monument Chevrolet. And I mention those spring savings because with the Chevy Silverado 1500s out there, they're giving you a chance to experience what their employees do. Those spring savings come with employee pricing, which means you get to pay what they pay. And they treat their employees like family, and they're going to treat you the same way. So just go to monumentchevrolet.com and check out all they have to offer, whether you want that Silverado 1500 or you want maybe a Blazer or a Trax or the regular Silverados. They're out there, too. They have a wide selection of their inventory available for you on the website. And then once you see the prices, you can take those prices in your mind and check them out, and you're going to see the same prices at the dealership. Just go to Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225 and see all that Monument Chevrolet has to offer. Maybe you run into Sammy, who's their salesperson of the week, or maybe another salesperson. Sammy, if you run into him, He's a Spanish speaker, so if you'd rather do some business in Spanish, he'll help you out. But all the salespeople out there are great. They'll walk you through the entire car buying process and set you up with a great car and a great deal. So from the pre-owned inventory to the new cars or maybe something for your fleet, it's a wise selection for you. Monument Chevrolet is the place you go in Pasadena. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
UConn has issued an apology. We remember back on, was it Saturday? They lose to Florida on Saturday, or was that Sunday? Over the weekend, UConn loses a tough second-round game to Florida. Dan Hurley seen cursing. Video went viral. A staffer yelled at the reporter who posted it and said, "I'll ruin you." Well, that reporter has gotten an apology. Joey Ellis is the reporter in question. Bobby Mullen was the UConn employee, the communications director, who talked about ruining his life. He has said, "I'm sorry." Joey Ellis tweeted out, "I spoke to Bobby Mullen a short time ago, during which he apologized for his behavior. I've accepted it, and life rolls on." So I need Bobby Mullen to do it publicly. I need someone to create a commitment graphic, but really it's just an apology graphic. If you're going to be that loud on Twitter and then have to apologize, take the Twitter to apologize to the man you insulted after you threatened to ruin him. So this was always going to be the final conclusion. It was going to garner too much attention for UConn to ignore it. And they asked Bobby Mullen to make good with a reporter. At the end of the day, it's an overblown reaction to something we all expect of Hurley. Like, Hurley yelling that out and telling everyone, or at least the Baylor people, "Hope they don't F you like they F'd us." It's what we expect from him. That video goes out. It's a bad look for him. He moves on, and we're done with it. It's like, oh, that's just Hurley being Hurley.
It's a private conversation.
No, not really.
We shouldn't have a look inside the mind of Dan Hurley. Which is...
I prefer not to.
Yelling and bitching about the refs after you lose.
Everything. Like, saying, don't you know who I am to a ref during the middle of a game. That's pretty much what he said, because he didn't like the treatment he was getting. I got to say, as far as the viral videos we've focused on, and the Cam Smith one hasn't reached that yet, probably won't. Maybe the inside videos that I would choose not to see, I'll take the Hurley one over the Cam Smith one. At least the Hurley one wasn't planned. It was just him being nuts.
Oh, that's who he spontaneous.
Is. Yeah. The Cam Smith one is the Astros pre-planning it, delaying the decision, public announcement, just to get the clicks.
So
fishing for clicks.
Yeah, they're playing for clicks. So you're okay ruining a reporter's life? Okay.
No.
His life is going to be ruined because of the UConn AD.
I did ask a question.
Or not AD. SID, which makes it even funnier.
Yeah. It wasn't even the guy.
The sports information director.
Yeah, it wasn't even the guy who does all the hiring for the sports programs at UConn. It was the guy who kind of corrals media so Dan Hurley can talk to them. He was never going to ruin his life, so that's why this was always going to be the final conclusion. Hey, you effed up. Apologize to him so we can get out of this. Let's not make this a bigger thing. The worst thing that should have happened to us was losing to Florida.
That is the worst thing that happened to him. I think that,
to the program, yes.
I think
it should have ended there for UConn. Have some emotional goodbyes to anyone who's a senior, because that was part of the complaint, that the focus should have been on the emotion that Dan Hurley showed walking off the court with his players and hugging and talking and consoling.
There's a different emotion that he showed.
If he would have allowed us to do it, that would have been the case. But Dan Hurley didn't want that to be the final say.
It is funny because I think the SID getting involved is like the major Streisand effect of this, where like That was, I guess, until the Maryland-Colorado State game, like, that was probably the best game of the tournament, or at least the best game of that round.
Yeah. You got the defending champion pushing the one seed. Yeah.
That was, like, a really good NCAA tournament-type game that, like, you don't really see because both teams, like, the level of play was actually relatively pretty high. It wasn't that the one seed was just kind of, like, messing around and that's why the lower seed stuck around. No, they're both playing at a pretty high level, and that should have been the takeaway. I mean, even, like, that could have been the takeaway and also Dan Hurley making an ass of himself as he's walking out after a loss like he always does. But adding in the fact that, like, that the UConn whatever media relations department is waging war on some random
from Charlotte.
Yeah, some random reporter. It's like that's all we've talked about, you know, the last 2 days. That's been the main focus of that game, which again was one of the better games that have been played this tournament.
Because it's a overblown reaction to something that's pretty
also it's been a pretty mid ass tournament.
Yeah, and we have all this time in between the games. I mean, Gonzaga got it right, Kelvin Sampson. Got it right.
Kevin Sam. Oh.
I said Kel. Okay. Sean's on one
today. I can only get one right.
Sean's on one today, just so you guys are aware. I don't know what's going to happen on the Paul Gallant show, but Sean's ready. We'll see. That game became intriguing because the Cougs were about to blow it, but they controlled that game throughout until the final stretches where they kind of shut themselves down offensively. And
the Houston Rockets were like, we can do that.
Well,
looks like us. It's the Atlanta Hawks.
Hey, the pros modeling, or at least the college kids modeling their game at the pros. Yeah. They've seen enough Rockets games to know this is how you make your fan base very uncomfortable in the game. They thought they were going to be cruising to the finish line watching.
Yeah, that Rockets game got the mute on the laptop treatment in the by halftime.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I'm watching the game. This isn't competitive. I'm watching the Hawks broadcast, and I had heard enough of Dominique Wilkins and stuff. I think one of the comments was about, hey, Dominique, how much would you average in today's game if Trae Young was your point guard?
They probably have never talked about that before on the
Hawks
broadcast.
It's never happened.
It's never come up. Wow.
How great Dominique would have been against these defenses. That's never a topic an old head talk brings up.
It's a double whammy because it's today's league. You can do that stuff. And then you can also go, you're also being like, our point guard's so good that he would have me open all the time.
It's not just about the greatness of Dominique.
Because of all the all-stars that Trae Young has created.
I mean, there are plenty of assists, but not really, hey, look what Trae made or did to make his teammate
You really
better.
Brought out the best of Bogdan Bogdanovic, I'll tell you that.
I mean, the Murray thing, him and DeJounte Murray didn't work out. Who could have predicted that? Oh,
what
yeah.
if Dominique,
a lot of people.
What if he gets asked that? Like, he'd be like, I'd average probably 26, 27, and then ask for a trade because
Trae I don't want to play with Trae anymore.
Because I don't want to stand there and watch Trae Young dribble for the entire possession.
Yeah. And there was a little of that last night because that's part of Trae Young's game, and maybe that's the reason why they were down so much. But because the Rockets are the Rockets sometimes, they allow teams in it. It's just part of their game. Sometimes they don't take good shots. It led to a comeback, and the Hawks were really good from the start of the fourth quarter up until throughout the quarter because, as I said before, they made a couple pushes, but just the lead was too insurmountable.
Also, Jalen Green, I noticed this when they're showing the final his final line. This is the rare Jalen Green game where he shoots pretty poorly from three, actually really poorly from three. But still efficient, relatively efficient, good game. There we go, Jalen Green. Made the mid-range shots when he needed. He kind of was the guy staving off the run, staving off the run after it happened. Like kind of stopping the bleed and keeping it at about a six-point
game.
Yeah,
it felt like if the Hawks took a lead, maybe the Rockets aren't coming back. So he made a couple big buckets. Jabari knocked down a couple threes and gave them some distance until the final run. Yeah, you mentioned it. He was awful from
one
three.
For seven.
Yeah, it was bad. He was bad. But if just doing the matters of addition and subtraction, that means he was 13 of 17 inside the arc. That's very good.
Yeah, take that.
and he had 11 assists. Or excuse me, 11 rebounds as well. 11 assists. What am I saying? He had 11 rebounds as well. He was big. As we'll make the jokes because of the inconsistency, and we asked the questions. Well, not just this show, but the previous show about who can the Rockets depend on to go get a bucket in a playoff series, because these are how these conversations kind of roll when we talk about best player, who will show out in the playoffs. We weren't really sure. Maybe it's best that we don't know. I tend to disagree because defenses tend to lock down late in playoff games, and you want a guy who you know can either create for others or get to the line or knock down a shot. And Jalen Green's the most likely candidate because no one can really stay in front of him. As much as Fred VanVleet is willing to take shots, they're going to come on jumpers. They're going to come off of other people drawing two. He's not a guy who's really going to draw two and get guys shots. Jalen Green's the best candidate for that. You saw some of that last night, mostly for himself. The progression of his game will be whether it comes in April and May of this season or next year. If we're going to put the ball in your hands, can you be someone who creates for others when defenses eventually say, we're not going to let you beat us?
And I think it helped that he was so terrible from three that
it forced him to
down the stretch. It forced him to go towards the basket more, or at least take, I mean, because he was hitting some mid-rangers.
Yeah, he made a
one to like fall away.
He made a fall away, which would have turned into a 3-point play, but he missed a free throw. That was a tough shot to make. Contact, falling towards the baseline, and knocked it down. So that's the guy.
Yeah, if he can do that, if he can do that in a playoff setting, like, we're good.
Yeah.
we can probably stop talking about like, oh, Devin Booker or whatever. Like, if he can do that consistently, I'm not saying like single-handedly win a playoff series, but if he can show that at the higher levels.
Even just a first-round
series.
Yeah,
second round. Like, again, pass the test, Jalen Green.
Sean's got his grades. Sean's gonna got grades,
mm-hmm.
And he's looking for you to at least get a B.
Yeah, yeah. That is all I'm looking for. I'm just looking for a B.
I look for a couple of possessions and some close games in the playoffs down the stretch. Doesn't have to be the entire series, as you said.
Yeah, just be good.
Can you be efficient? Can you get shots for yourself and others? And then we have something to really talk about as far as where he can be in the coming years. Okay, that wraps up the show for us today. We did a lot of things. Sean may have to talk with someone about something he said, or he's just fine.
Might have to post a notes app apology.
Maybe you need to call Stephon Diggs yourself. Like,
need to check in?
Bobby Mullen did. He had to apologize to Joey Ellis. Maybe apology is coming from you. All right, we're done for the day. Paul Gallant is up next. We're going to be out at East River 9, the entire station, from 7 to 6 tomorrow. Come out there and join us. It's a good time. Great course, great food. I've enjoyed one of those two. Guess which one? We'll do that tomorrow. But since we're done for today, what does that mean, Sean?
I'm a great guy. I'm actually a great guy.
Thank you, Stephon Diggs. I'll talk to you tomorrow.